now. This is my job. I will not quit it. Pull me out the depths when I thought that I was finished. Yeah, I question.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Anthony Alvarado from Rise and Grind Recovery Radio. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And I want to give a big shout out to everyone who has supported us over the last three episodes. You can find those episodes on weallrisetogether.org. Again, that's weallrisetogether.org. Man, the feedback that we've been getting has been absolutely amazing. And that's why we started this Rise and Grind Recovery Radio podcast, is to get a message of not only education awareness out there, but ultimately to get a message of support to those that are struggling with addiction or mental health. We truly believe here that not only will this awareness help to prevent this addiction epidemic from getting worse, but it also helped to save the lives of our community's youth. This week, we also want to give a big shout out to all the families who have been supporting Rise and Grind. This episode, especially from the families that have been impacted by addiction or those who have unfortunately lost a son or daughter or family member to this horrible disease of addiction. Thank you for sponsoring this week's episode. Much love.
Looking to bring a positive message to your next event? Contact Air and Allies. Air and Allies specializes in bringing entertainment to recovery events, daytime music events, and family-friendly community events. Air and Allies also specializes in bringing artists who bring a positive message to reinforce a better lifestyle to events like Mile of Music. Air and Allies can also help you plan and organize your event to make it successful. To learn more about making your event successful and feature a positive message, email Air and Allies at airandallies@gmail.com or look for the link on this podcast.
Are you looking to prevent drug use throughout your community? Rise Together is a national movement that is helping to educate and spread awareness on mental health and addiction. After traveling 100,000 miles and speaking to over 120,000 young people in just 3 years, they currently have one of the best school speaking programs in the world. They are now available for school seminars, event speaking, motivational workshops, public panels, and even corporate trainings. Contact them now by visiting www.weallrisetogether.org.
What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Alvarado from Rise and Grind Recovery Radio, and I am so excited to be back in the studio today. This is episode 6 just coming at you, and today we have a special guest, Ryan Hampton, in the house. How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. I'm great. How are you, Anthony?
I'm doing fantastic. So I heard a little conversation that you are about to sit down with President Barack Obama today over in Connecticut.
Yeah, actually, we're in New Hampshire today. And first of all, let me thank you and your team for, you know, inviting us on the show today. You know, I think, you know, we definitely all rise together and Rise and Grind is just, it's so awesome, man. I mean, what you guys are doing, you're on the cutting edge of, you know, really, you know, getting voices heard. And I think that that's what, you know, recovery advocates all around America are doing and need to be doing, you know, especially now that we're, you know, kind of toward, I know your audience is going to be hearing this next week, but, you know, we're in the depth of this election. And, you know, when everybody's listening to this in a couple of days, we'll have a new president-elect. But, yeah, we're on our way right now. We're doing what we do. You know, in the recovery community, and that's to, you know, see and be seen. And, you know, we're going to go spend hopefully a great afternoon with Obama and some other folks and, you know, rep the recovery community and make sure that we're there and our voices are heard. And, yeah, we're really excited about it. We're excited about the opportunity. And, you know, man, you would have asked me 21, 22 months ago if this is what I'd be doing on you know, in the beginning of November in 40-degree weather in New Hampshire, I would have looked at you and said, you're nuts.
Right.
But there's a carload of us here, and we're doing it. So, yeah, well, we're excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I can't thank you enough either. I know we've been connected and we met in person when we were at the NLC in Denver. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to connect as much as we probably wanted to. But I know, like, both of us are going out and, you know, trying to forefront a loud voice, right, collectively together. And I know I had Mario on the show last week, and that's a majority of our conversation, like the importance of, you know, standing up in your community, becoming an advocate and leading for change, right? And ultimately leading this conversation where we can change the conversation, not only around addiction, but some of the other social issues that are here in America. So with, in part of the advocacy that you're doing, what are some of the goals that you have today? And what are those, what do those efforts mean to the recovery community here in America?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, what's important, you know, I mean, you brought up the National Leadership Conference. I mean, I was we were grateful. Justin Luke Riley from Young People in Recovery joined us over the weekend here in New Hampshire, and you know, it was really a special moment for us, all being together. And I think that, you know, some of the goals that we're looking at is we're in a really unique time, you know, for the recovery community and especially for the recovery advocacy community in general. It just happens we're in New Hampshire right now, and, you know, there's a lot of people for a long time, you know, who've walked this path before us, who have really been pounding the pavement to get this message out. We've seen a lot of talking heads, a lot of policymakers, you know, offering solutions, but it really wasn't, you know, that, and Justin, I think, speaks about it so eloquently, but like that real constituency of consequence didn't come out, you know, from the woodworks until the New Hampshire primaries this year. And that's because for the first time ever, we started seeing people in recovery, allies, family members, getting up and offering lived experience, which is what this issue has needed for so long, right? Mm-hmm. And people started to listen, and they started to identify. And more importantly than identify, the community started to unify around a common cause, right? It is a bipartisan, and I'd go as far to say it is a nonpartisan cause. I mean, it is something that everybody should be talking about. And we really harnessed this moment in time to get our issues heard, right? I mean, never before have we seen every presidential candidate, and I'm going to go as far back to the primaries, but every presidential candidate coming out with a plan or a version of a plan to deal with the addiction crisis in the United States. And now we have two nominees, you know, who have, you know, both have very different plans, and we will have a president-elect when your audience is listening to this, but that has become in like the top 5-6 priorities of what's being talked about. We have a current president who has said, you know, President Barack Obama, who has said that he wants to leave this as part of his legacy, right? He has been pushing for funding on this. Mm-hmm. But all this really happened because, you know, when you look at the numbers, I mean, 1 in 3 households in America are affected or afflicted. You've got your 22 million Americans currently struggling, your 23 million Americans in long-term recovery. You know, that number directly impacted is 45 million Americans in the United States, you know, much of which had not been talked about before. But, you know, the constituency really, you know, they rose up. Mm-hmm. They put their hands up. They said, I'm going to be counted. And the way I'm going to be counted is I'm not just going to use my voice. I'm going to use my vote. And you need to be talking about my issues, and you need to be talking to me. So what's important for us in terms of goals is, you know, this week and the next 3 months leading up to January 20th, when our new president will, you know, take the oath of office, it's up to the recovery community to keep the momentum going, right?
Right.
We don't, now that the election is over, we don't go back home and stay silent, right? I know for me personally, I didn't get into recovery to not have a voice, and certainly to stay in the shadows and you know, for all intents and purposes, be in the closet about my recovery, right? I wanted to make sure that I was talking about it. And, you know, I'll be the first person to tell you I'm no expert on public policy, right? I'm, you know, no expert in, you know, developing legislation. What I can tell you is I have a lot of experience in being a person who struggled with addiction, who struggled with mental health, you know, and as important as that is, you know, lived experience is, I also have a lot of experience of what, you know, was waiting for me and now is true in my life on the other side in recovery, right? And I think that recovery should be accessible. It should be affordable. It shouldn't be about, you know, who has the best health insurance plan or who can write the biggest check. Everybody deserves a shot at this. You know, I mean, this is, you know, I think for our community, you know, we can lay direct verticals to like heart disease and cancer and diabetes. And, you know, while all those causes are extraordinarily important, there has been a lot more money, a lot more research, a lot more effort put into recovery supports for those health problems.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that we're now getting to a time in America where people are starting to recognize addiction as a health problem. It is a health, you know, beyond problem, it's a health crisis right now. And people are scrambling for solutions. So we need not let the microphone go, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need not hand the microphone back over. Like, we've got to hold on to it. We've got to hold our new president-elect accountable, right? And what does that mean? I mean, look, you know, people have not been talking about this for a long time. So anybody out there, anybody listening, anybody that's in recovery that doesn't believe that their voice matters, it does. Call your congressman. Call your senators. Call your governor. Call your, you know, meet with your city council people. Write to your president-elect. Email them. Offer your experience. You may not be a public policy leader, but public policies are developed based on what our experiences have been with the system. And I know my experience, personal experience with the system, was a disaster, right? Yep. We need a whole new approach to this thing.
Absolutely. And that's leading to, you know, unfortunately, many deaths and many family members and many community members being impacted. And there's been a constant conversation. Like, there is some, like, real stricken pain. Like, even in the life that I leave today, over the weekend, found out about three used to be people that I hung out with right here in the Fox Valley region that passed away. And one of those individuals happened to be Amanda, which was one of my mom's friends. And it was so amazing to see her in recovery and seeing them make that attempt and that progress and living that long-term recovery, like, brought back so much in her life. But because of, like, the system that we live in today, there were some things that she unfortunately didn't have access to. Right. And she's no longer breathing, man.
Yeah. And, man, I'm so sorry for your loss. And for me, in hearing that, I mean, that is not a unique story, right? I mean, we hear it every day. I mean, we all know, not just somebody, we know many people who have died because of a lack of recovery supports or, you know, a lack of access to treatment, and we know them recently, right? I mean, it's not like we're talking about these people in the present tense as it happened years ago. I mean, it's happening constantly. I mean, we've hit epidemic proportions in terms of this crisis, which is part of the reason why we're getting this type of response, which is long overdue. You know, what I will say for me personally, I mean, you know, I'm a person, you know, in long-term recovery. For me, what that means is I haven't used, you know, drugs, alcohol, heroin, anything in 21 months. And that's how I...
Congratulations, man.
You know, thank you. And you know, but what I'll say is that I also, you know, I am proud of that. But I will tell you, you know, God forbid anything were ever to happen to me or any of my friends, you know, this is this fight, you know, this cause is about us too. Like, I want to make sure that the supports are in place, right? That, you know, God forbid I ever had to go back to treatment or my friends had to go back to treatment or we needed outside support that, you know, you could go as deep as like parity laws. I mean, I wasn't able to get, you know, even though my insurance was supposed to cover certain recovery supports and continuums of care, it didn't, right? Mm-hmm. Because none of that stuff was enforced. You know, we need to get to a place where if someone, and it goes beyond like the medical piece too. I think now we can get into a conversation about like the stigmatization around addiction. I should have the supports available to me where I could check right in. I could go to an emergency room and say, hey, I slipped up, right? I had a recurrence of use. I need help. And they could put me somewhere right away. I mean, you know, having that support is important. But the second part of that, and I think that this is on us. It's on our community. It's on our advocates. It's on our people, right? Mm-hmm. We need to destigmatize, you know, not just addiction, but destigmatize, you know, that recurrence of use, that slip-up issue, because nobody should ever be ashamed that they had that go on. They should, you know, and I think that shame and that stigma keeps a lot of people who do slip up from getting back into recovery, right? I mean, Absolutely. They should be able to pick right back up and start. I mean, look, we talk the same language. You know, time has never been a tool for any of us, right? I mean, it is like a daily, like you said, rise and grind. I mean, it is a daily grind. You know, God forbid something happened to me today, you know, I would hope that we could get to a place where I could pick right back up and continue and not feel ostracized or ashamed because of, you know, the conversation that we've been having, right?
Yeah. I mean, shame and guilt is something that, you know, that keeps us sick and that keeps us dying.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, it also keeps us silent. right? So it doesn't allow us to ask
and
for
silence
help.
Silence equals death.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, even at the young age, you know, going out and educating youth and seeing, you know, any student in front of me from like 10 to 18 years old, and what our efforts do in part is encourage them to ask for help for the very first time. And so often, I mean, even the recent conversation, like, thank you for coming into the community. Thank you for letting our voices be heard. Thank you for letting us share our story, talk about things that we care about. And ultimately, like, they're getting beyond that shame and guilt and realizing that they're not alone.
That's right. I mean, our stories have tremendous power. And I don't think, you know, I mean, whether it's in your personal recovery program or it's in your community, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. You know, I don't think that my home-based recovery community is in Los Angeles. And I didn't really understand, you know, that saying, like, our stories have power until this happened. You know, when Addiction X America kicked off, it was around, you know, the national conventions. And, you know, it was actually a year ago this weekend that Garrett and I lost our friend Greg, and we went back home to LA, and it impacted us. And there were so many other people, you know, that had happened before that, but this one kind of like hit home for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea was like, hey, let's, you know, run for delegate, and, you know, I'll put my name up, but like, we'll get the community together. We'll get them involved. And, you know, we showed up at this, caucus election in, May, if you know anything about a caucus, it's a very insider thing. It's mm-hmm. hundreds of like local political people come together to elect a delegate to the national convention. There's a lot of wheeling and dealing and judges and city council people and congress people and, you know, committee chairs, like just like the insider crowd that votes. And we didn't know anybody. Like I hadn't been politically involved in California since moving out there, which was about 4 years at this point. And my recovery community, my friends, I'd say 60% of them weren't even registered to vote until we came up with this idea. Now, when we get there, you know, there's a line around the door, probably 400 or 500 people lined up, buttons and stickers, and everybody's rah-rah for their candidate. We had none of that. Like, we didn't have any money to do anything like that, but B, we didn't really even know it was, like, that serious. But what we did have was our story. Each of us, and there were a lot of us, there were dozens and dozens of us. We had stories to tell. We had impactful stories about, you know, not just addiction stories, but recovery stories. I mean, it was our recovery stories, like how, you know, when Recovery Act is available, this is who we are. But beyond that, you know, our friends are dying, right? Yeah. People close to us are dying. So we fanned out and talked to people, and I spent, you know, probably 2 hours talking to each and every person in that line. And we won, you know, top vote getter, but B, you know, I was taken aback by, in the statistics, 1 in 3, literally 1 in 3 people in that line knew somebody. I grew up in an alcoholic household. Mm-hmm. My brother is in treatment. I lost my best friend. There was one of the most impactful stories I heard was a 72-year-old grandmother, very politically active, was like, my granddaughter months ago died of a heroin overdose, right? And it was like breaking down those barriers, being able to have those conversations that made all the difference, right? Yeah. And people responded. And because of that and that response, Addiction X America was born. We were like, hey, if a small group of people in Pasadena, California are talking about this and they're responding to it, like, let's let people tell their stories across this country. Like, let's go out and meet people and let's start, you know, having an open discussion about this. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk recently about doing a, you know, facing addiction at the dinner table. Like, I mean, these conversations need to be taking place, mm-hmm. you know, to break down those barriers of silence, shame, or sin. You know, need to be taking place at dinner tables across America, parents talking to their kids. You know, there's no better, you know, we went through Just Say No. We went through other prevention techniques. But one of the most effective, in my opinion, methods of prevention is a mother or a father or both or a sister or a brother, you know, sitting down at a dinner table and being like, okay, let's talk about this.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, because I know I'm 36 years old, you know, and I grew up in, you know, I grew up in the war on drugs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that was my, that's what I was, my head was filled with. My parents were terrified to ever even bring up the subject. Right. And when they did know, when they did find out, when they did have an inkling that I had a drug problem, they were in straight denial about it because of what the media was telling them. Mm-hmm. They were their bad parents. They hadn't done their job right. You know, what would it look like in the community? You know, so I think, like, in 2016, almost as much like love and acceptance as we've seen around the progression in the LGBT movement, where, you know, people coming out of the closet these days is no big shocker. It is socially acceptable. It's actually the right thing to do, right? Like, how can you fight love, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, how can you, it needs to become like the socially acceptable norm that those conversations can happen at the same level with people who have a substance use disorder or mental health issue. Like, it is not, you know, something to be ashamed of.
Absolutely.
Period.
Absolutely. Like, there's a girl that reached out to Nadine, one of our members of Rise Together, and she said something like this. She's like, hey, thank you for coming to our school. Thank you for helping me, like, stand up and voice my opinion about what's happening in my community. But most importantly, thank you for letting me go home and feel comfortable right. enough to have a conversation with my father to talk about yeah. some of the issues that I'm struggling with. And by the end of it, my father said, thank you for, like, sharing your story. I'm here for you unconditionally, and I love you, and I'm glad we're right. having this conversation. Like, encouraging right. them to do that. Like, ultimately, like, that is a goal of ours. It's like the streamline, in some senses, the conversation in everyday business, right? So whether that's in school or yeah. at home, like, just have it common language, something that is right. comfortable and a safe place for people to talk about, especially youth. Like, my son right now, him and I have a safe place at home, whether it's in the kitchen or in the car or running down the street. Like, he can come to me with whatever he's challenged with today.
Right.
And that might be drugs and alcohol. When he got introduced to smoking weed for the first time, you know, some of his best friends asked him about a year ago.
Right.
And he came home and he started asking me questions about that. You know,
yeah.
hey, this happened at school.
Yeah, but look
school.
At how beautiful that
right?
is.
That's
so,
amazing,
like,
right?
opened up this, you know, you've got this, you know, you've got this honest dialogue with your son, right? And that's the result of your own personal experience. You know, and that's such a huge added value, you know, but, like, we need to mainstream those types of conversations, you know, and I think one of the ways we have to do that is by opening up hearts and minds to destigmatize and to end shame. And in 2016, one of the, you know, I think most effective ways to do that is through mass media. It's through digital media. Mm-hmm. It's through influencers talking about these things. It's through, you know, positive content, right? And people identify with that. I mean, we live in, like, a pop culture world right now. You know, and unfortunately, you know, the way the statistics are going, you know, overdoses are killing, the number one killer right now for millennials, people under the age of 30. You know, so it's like that community that we need to be talking to, because not only is it the community that's, you know, that the death rate is so high for, but it's also like the next generation of leaders, right? So it's like we need to save them, right? We need to, like, and by saving them, I mean we need to do our part. Right? And our part is just so big as people in the recovery community. I do not think, you know, that in the year 2016 and this century that we can be silent any longer. We can draw a lot of correlations with the AIDS crisis in the 80s and 90s and with the LGBT movement. I mean, here was an issue that was, you know, so shameful to so many people that so many people were afraid to talk about. And then you had this health problem that compounded it, that people were just didn't know anything about, that there was no empathy, there was no compassion. It was a gay curse, right? Much like addiction has been put on to a marginalized community, but now people, just like AIDS, realize AIDS isn't just it's not a gay curse. It's something that affects every spectrum of society. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just a gay disease, just like addiction is not a black disease or a Latino disease or a poverty disease. It is an American, it is a world problem. It is a world health problem, right? So, like, mm-hmm. we're getting to, like, a point where the understanding and the compassion and the empathy, but more importantly, the urgency around the issue has started to happen, and the response has been urgent. But we will lose that momentum if we don't keep talking about it beyond the election. Like, we need to be out there. We need to be vocal. We need to let America know that there is a constituency out there. There is a voting constituency. And, you know, I envision a day where we're scoring candidates, you know, where we're like, we have our own AARP. We've got our own kind of like NRA type organization where we're a powerhouse. We're a lobbying powerhouse. You know, we've got tens of millions of voters at the push of a button. And beyond that, you know, hopefully in this decade, we see people in recovery who are running for public office all across this country that have authoritative power over budgets, who can be making treatment, you know, demanding treatment is publicly accessible and paid for, just like it is for so many other health problems, right?
Right.
I would encourage, and I think that that's part of the movement. I think it's like the organic development of a movement that started, you know, 20, 30 years ago, but now here's our time, right? It's arrived. So what are we going to do with it?
Absolutely. So what's like the next step? And what would you encourage? I mean, for all the listeners out there, I think it's pretty clear that we're really talking about like uniting more than ever before and like sharing our voice. So whether you're struggling with addiction or you have been impacted by addiction, like we absolutely need your action. We need your voice. We need you to grab the mic and shout from the rooftops, whatever community you're from, in whatever in front of whatever audience, right?
Yeah.
But then there's like a part of it, like you also have to get out and continue to encourage, right?
Right.
Like there is one thing to say, you know, I'm in long-term recovery or I've been impacted by addiction and I lost a son or a daughter or a family member due to an overdose. Like that helps break social stigma. And that's, I think, where we're at. Again, like we're reviving a lot of that. So pushing that in the mainstream, talking about social influence, and then heading it all the way to the top. So places like our national capitals and individuals of influence and the ability to change policy are now starting to listen. So if you were to say right now, like, hey, audience out there who's listening today, what are some easy ways to get engaged with some of the efforts that you have going on?
Sure. I mean, I would right now, is like kind of, you know, and I'll wrap this up because I've got to run, but my advice to our community, to our brothers and sisters in recovery would be to get engaged locally, right? And what that looks like is tell your recovery story. Do not be ashamed to tell your recovery story outside of a recovery meeting. Your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters, your employers, they need to know, you know, what recovery looks like, right? Because I think that the first step in this is like breaking down those barriers of social stigma, right? And so like we're on the cusp of something really special. Now, if you would want to take it a step further, you know, I would start writing letters to your editor. You know, I would start getting involved in local media, you know, offering your recovery story. You know, start paying more attention to what's happening at a national level, at a local level with policies. Get involved in that action, right? When a U.S. senator or a U.S. congressman or a city council person or a mayor is talking about addiction, get on the phone with that person's office. Be like, hey, I live in your state, I live in your city, your county, whatever it may be, and I'm a person in recovery. And let me tell you about your plan. And maybe you're not a policy expert like I'm not. You know, let me tell you my experience with treatment or my experience with medication-assisted therapy or my experience with criminal justice and mass incarceration. You know, because you will be pleasantly surprised that some of these people who have been serving, you know, terms in and out in high-level offices will sit there and they'll scratch their head and be like, God, I never thought about that.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a whole different, we elevate the conversation to a whole different level when we add our voice, right?
Absolutely.
So, dude, I appreciate this so much. I mean, I really want to continue working with Rise and Grind. I would tell your audience, please go to, you know, facingaddiction.org. Check out the work that they're doing. They're on the cutting edge of some extraordinary advocacy in the recovery community. Check out addictionxamerica.com, which really gives you kind of a little bit more background on some of the media that we're doing in the space. You know, find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, I'm at Ryan for Recovery. Tweet me, reach out to me. You know, I respond to everybody. I love connecting with people around the country who have this shared common interest. You know, just like Justin Luke Riley says so eloquently again, you know, we are building a constituency of consequence. You know, we can be advocates and we can also be activists, you know, depending on what side of the issue we're falling on. And I think that, that we're at a special time in history and every single person is a part of it in this community, whether they know it or not, whether they're still out there struggling, whether they're a family member or ally or a person in recovery, everybody's a part of it. And it's just going to, we're really on the verge of some historic stuff, I think, in the next couple of years. But it's all happening now. And thank you guys for doing this show. It's excellent. And
thank you.
You know, really leading in on your voice in a big way. We need more of that.
Thank you so much, man. And I know you got to get going. You got some important things to do today. And tell the team I said hello and tell everybody you get in contact with. We said much love and respect. We love what you guys are doing. And I'm sure we'll connect down the road, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, brother. Take care, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take it easy, man.
It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them. But you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me. So the world feed it beans. It's gassed up. Everything's stopping me. I'm gonna be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, I'm tired of bleeding. All those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. Knowing fans are bust, don't try to ask him why or how can he. From infinite down to the last relapse, I'm gonna be still. Whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he bows out or he just bows out of him. Whichever comes first, for better or worse. He's married to the game, like a fucking for Christmas. His gift is a curse. Forget the earth, he's got the urge to pull his from the dirt. And the whole universe. These words in the rhythm for you to know it's a rap. You said you was king, you lied through your teeth. For that, your feelings, instead of getting crowned, you're getting capped. And to the fans, I'll never let you down again, I'm back. I promise to never go back on that promise. In fact, let's be honest, at last we laughed. CD was aired, perhaps I ran them accents into the ground. Relax, I ain't going back to that now. All I'm trying to say is get back, click, clack, clap. Cause I ain't playing around. It's a game called circling, I don't know how. I'm way too up to back down. Trying to figure this crap out. Thought I had it mapped out, but I guess I didn't. This f***ing black cloud still follows me around, but it's time to exercise these demons. These motherf***ers are doing jumping jacks.
I'm
now
not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Get clean, I did it for me. Admittedly, I probably did it subliminally for you, so I could come back a brand new me. You helped see me through, and don't even realize what you did. Cause believe me, you, I've been through the ringer, but they can do little to the middle finger. I think I got a tear in my eye. I feel like the king of my world. Haters can make like bees with no stingers and drop dead. No more beef flingers, no more drama from now on. I promise to focus solely on handling my responsibilities as a father. So I solemnly swear to always treat this room like my daughter. And raise it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for being in the studio with us and listening to the interview with Mr. Ryan Hampton, National Recovery Advocate. I know he has had an opportunity to meet with President Barack Obama this week, and he even took some time to do the interview with us. Super awesome guy. Great conversation. And I think if you guys were really paying attention, the one thing that we absolutely know is that we have to continue more than ever before to keep pushing forward, to keep taking action. And we want everybody to get involved. And that's especially true for me right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, right here in Northeast Wisconsin, in the entire state, man. Like now more than ever, I want to see people in recovery sharing their story. Just like Ryan was talking about, whether that's in your traditional support group, that's at home, that's when you're walking down the block, that's when you're going to the store, like speaking out, being louder than ever before, and being happy, like showing that recovery is possible. That story, that one conversation can bring hope back into somebody else's life. It can help change somebody's life, and it can encourage them to speak out about the things that are going on in their life and maybe find the help that they need. And if it isn't available, they can also, you guys can advocate together and get those people's support. The why I say that is because I know that's something that we do here constantly with Rise Together. And if you guys want to go ahead and support us as well, please, again, text us at telephone number 44144. Text the word RISE, that's RISE, to telephone number 44144. And for everybody that was listening and encouraged by Ryan Hampton to get involved as well, you can go ahead and contact him on Facebook. It's just Ryan Hampton. That's HAMPTON. Otherwise, you can also find him on Twitter or Instagram. Also, he is advocating and a part of Facing Addiction, which was referenced. That is www.facingaddiction.org. There is some unbelievable efforts that this national organization, nonprofit organization, is doing here in America to curb the addiction epidemic. And one of those is actually getting support by sharing your story, which is what we're talking about here. So you can go ahead and do that with them as well. There is a valiant effort in charge from Ryan Hampton and his best friend. They literally put together some of the best content that I've ever seen, and they called it Addiction X America, and you can view that at addictionxamerica.com. There's a documentary where two best friends travel on nearly 8,000 miles, 22 different states in 31 days, and they travel to different recovery communities all across the United States. Absolutely beautiful. Please go check that out. Share that with a friend. Encourage them to really look at this and get involved. There's thousands and thousands of people that are being encouraged and having this great sense of passion and empowerment to change our community when it's absolutely needed. So we don't have to continue to lose our friends and our brothers and our sisters and our family members and potentially put our next generation, our youth, at risk. We need you now more than ever, our listeners and beyond, to get involved, get online, share your story, share your family's story, share your story with Rise Together, share your story with Facing Addiction, share your story with addictionxamerica.com. Go ahead and contact people like Ryan Hampton. Contact the people that we've had on the show over the last few weeks and see how you can get involved. Or you can go ahead and contact me, Anthony Alvarado, at weallrisetogether@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can find me online as well, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even on LinkedIn. Please, everybody and anybody, whether you think you're impacted by addiction or not, it's never too late to get involved. Now more than ever, we need to do this to help save the lives of our youth and beyond. Action speaks volume. Action are stronger than words. My name is Anthony Alvarado. Thank you so much for listening to Rise and Grind Recovery Radio. We'll be back at you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.